All righty, we're back here on Tobin and Leroy. Chris Perkins going to join us coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes from now. I know you guys touched on this a little bit yesterday, Leroy, and I'm not a huge Madden fan. Like when I was a kid, I loved playing Madden, but as an adult now, I don't have a gaming system. The fact that Devon Achane was ranked 11th amongst running backs, I just don't get it. Because it would be one thing if all of his yards just came on the ground. The fact that he's a dual threat running back and he has like a Bijan Robinson and a Christian McCaffrey, Jahmyr Gibbs type to him, I would have thought for Madden specifically, he would have been higher up on that list.
I literally said the same thing yesterday and with a couple of caveats, and that's this. Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are workhorse horses for their team.
Okay.
You can count on them. You can depend on them, right? And they're also playing on good teams.
Sure.
When you look at Jahmyr Gibbs, good team.
Yep. McCaffrey, you look at good team.
McCaffrey, good team. And so that brings the question, Bijan's on a very talented team. They haven't had success.
But more success than the Dolphins.
More success than the Dolphins. So if I take a great player and put him on a crappy team, what is his success going to be? Especially at running back. And maybe that has something to do with it. Because I think the most dynamic running back is Bijan. And he should probably be number one, followed by Christian McCaffrey based on how they're used. Now, if I had to win a championship, I'm going with Saquon or Derrick Henry. So how do you compare two totally different style of running backs other than looking at their team?
The other thing here, too, is it's like it's Madden. So I think the versatility of a Devon Achane, the fact that he could dice you up in between the tackles, and then also you could just dump the ball off him in the backfield and he could scatter for 30, 40 yards. That should put him up on this list. Like, I'm not saying he's better than all these running backs, but if I'm playing Madden, the guy's in front of him. I'd rather have Devon Achane over Kyren Williams. I'd rather have Devon Achane over Kenneth Walker. I'd rather have Devon Achane over Josh Jacobs. For Madden, probably not Saquon Barkley.
Those are the only three, though.
Derrick Henry, sure. You know what? James Cook, and here's why. James Cook, I know, had the most rushing yards in the league last year. Devon Achane is better at catching the football than James Cook.
But better team.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Better team. See, so, like, I'm a big believer in, like, the success of your team, the better players benefit from, because depending on what position you play, right? Like, I was in Minnesota, and we went through four quarterbacks, and they all went to the Pro Bowl because they played with Randy and Chris.
Makes it easy.
Right. So what part of that was their talent, or what part of that was they were on a good team?
Was Gus Frerotte one of those guys? Did you have Gus in Minnesota?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I had Warren Moon. Then Brad Johnson.
Super Bowl champion.
Then Randall Cunningham.
Ah, Randall Cunningham.
And then Dante Culpepper.
Not bad. Good quarterbacks.
They had one thing in common. Except Brad Johnson and Warren Moon. Brad Johnson threw to Randy Moss.
Oh.
Warren Moon didn't. And Warren Moon probably threw the best football you've ever seen. It never didn't have a tight spiral.
Even better than Aaron Rodgers' tight
spiral. There we go. There we go. So like, yeah, I.
You know what's crazy, though? I think this speaks to a bigger point. People talk about how the running back position has been devalued because the running back by committees. I'm not trying to make you have an aneurysm right now. I'm just saying what people say. Right. You look at this list. I think of the Lions offense. I think of Jahmyr Gibbs first. I don't think of their quarterback. The Niners, I think of Christian McCaffrey first. I don't think of their quarterback. The Colts, I think of Jonathan Taylor first. I don't think of their quarterback. Bijan Robinson, I think of him first, not their quarterback. James Cook, all right, I think of Josh Allen first. Derrick Henry, okay, I think of Lamar Jackson first. Right. Saquon Barkley, I think of him first before his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and that's a guy that's won the Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love, same thing. Kenneth Walker's now in Kansas City, so I do think of Mahomes.
No chance.
and Kyron Williams in L.A., yeah, I think of Stafford before him. Devon Achane, you could argue, he's not going to win the MVP this year. He's not going to win Offensive Player of the Year this year. But I don't know in the NFL if there's a player more valuable to his team than Devon Achane, because if the Dolphins didn't have Devon Achane, they may be the number one team in the draft anyway. We would be talking about the Dolphins maybe not even getting a win or two this season if they didn't have Achane.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say, and I've said this for the last few years, the teams complaining about not having a quarter running back and saying they don't need one are the teams that don't have one. The teams that have a running back will all say it starts up front with the running game.
Yeah, I don't think you need a bell cow back, but I think that we've seen a lot of running back by committee, but you need production on the ground. If you can't run the football in this league, you can't win. Like the Patriots, they had so many different – they had Corey Dillon, who was phenomenal, but then they've had Antoine Smith, Kevin Falk, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, James White. They still had production on the ground, though.
But also, the thing that I would say about what New England did was they may not have had the running back that we would consider a bell cow or anything like that, but they threw all those little short passes were extensions of the run.
Yeah, the dink and dunks.
So the offense was predicated on that, and then at the end of the game, they tried to run the ball and do little quick stuff. They wanted the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, and they were able to do that, and then the play action killed you. I mean, when they had Randy Moss, they didn't give a damn about that run game.
Yeah.
And in fact, that was one of the only years they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they almost went undefeated, but yeah, you know, that didn't happen. But
right?
Yeah, no, they definitely used the run, and there'd be times you watch McDaniels, it's like, wow, they're running on him first and second, and then it would be third down and five, and boom, they would hit Brady to Gronk over the middle for 15, right, or Brady to Edelman over the middle for 15. Exactly. You need to win the battle in the trenches in this sport, and you need to run the football. Like, those are things that will always be a part of this game.
You look at Kansas City, right? There was only so many times they could do that running back by committee. They went and got a guy, right? So all the better teams in the league have one thing in common. Forget the quarterback. They all run the football.
Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia in Miami at a Domino's game. You always find your Abuelito, and whenever you want a low price, you save with your Pricito. Save now with your Pricito at Doral Kia. The Marlins' three-game winning streak did come to an end last night. They lost to the Mets 4-2 in Queens. You can listen to the game tonight on QAM. It's Jansen Junk going up against Freddie Peralta as the Fish look to bounce back into the win column. Chop Robinson has been shining to start training camp. The offense, not so much. There's been a lot of pre-snap penalties. Chris Perkins is going to join us on the other side to give us a little Dolphins training camp update. The weather report is brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Protect your home before the next storm. Get your free roof and window estimate. Call 954-968-8155. I'm not a great weatherman, but earlier it looked like it's going to rain in Miami. Not so much as the day has continued.
It's over here now.
Oh,
it's
now
by
it's,
me.
Now it's our, yeah. Well, you're always a ball of sunshine, so the rain had to find you to try to rain on your parade. In Miami, 25% chance of rain at 7 p.m., high of 93, low of 79. A heat advisory is in effect today, and that will last until about 6 p.m. on the final day of July. And also one last headline if you're just tuning in. Tony Romo taking a leave of absence from CBS. J.J. Watt is going to be elevated to that first broadcast booth. We will see if Tony Romo, with $72 million remaining on that contract, ever does come back to the CBS.
He's taking a leave of absence. He was forced.
Absolutely.
It wasn't free.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going by the way that they elected to word it on their little fancy press release. He's okay. Taking a leave of absence. Yeah. This is, yeah, we're trying to figure out how not to pay you $72 million because you were as drunk could be in that whole situation with the OWI. All right. Well, we will take a break here on Tobin and Leroy. Chris Perkins will join us on the other side. We'll get a little update from Dolphins training camp. All righty, welcome back in. It is Tobin and Leroy. Zach Gelb in for Tobin on this Friday. We got 40 more minutes to play. We'll wrap up the show coming up later with our Dead to Me segment. But first, let's go out to the hotline and bring in Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. We'll talk a little Dolphins training camp. And Chris Perkins right now is joining us on the hotline, and it's brought to you by the Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Toyotaofhollywood.com. Chris, appreciate it. How are you?
Oh, life is good, man. I get to talk to Zach. I talk to Leroy. Fans come out to practice Sunday. Pads come on Monday. What could be better, man? I'm fired up. I'm ready.
Wow, you're so optimistic. So it makes me think that maybe you like what you're seeing right now with the Dolphins. Kind of give us a vibe check on Jeff Hafley the first few days of his first training camp as a head coach.
It's been different. It's been different than what we've seen out here in the previous few years. You know, I wrote and yesterday about how the 11-on-11 is the big thing out here, that they're not doing 1-on-1. They're not doing 7-on-7. They're doing 11-on-11 because Jeff Hafley feels that's real football, because Jeff Hafley doesn't want to do football drills without involving the offensive and defensive linemen. You know, he wants to be strong in the trenches. And so he doesn't see the point of practicing without the offensive and defensive linemen. Today, we notice that they're going a lot of down and distance. They're not just running three or four straight plays. It's 1st and 10, 2nd and 3. 3rd and 8, it's situation, it's different personnel groupings. He's coaching the players as they come off the field. So you notice different things like that. And I'll say this, I like what I see out there. I still think that this is probably between a 4-6 win team, which I think is okay, because I think the points of this season are making sure Sully is the right guy, make sure Half is the right guy, make sure Malik Willis is the right guy, and make sure your players have the right attitude.
Perk, it's pretty amazing that we're having, you know, these conversations about a head coach, because I got to tell you, like, we go out there and I hate the term, oh, the defense dominated today, or the offense did this time of year, because you're not game planning. And I think I hated 7-on-7 too, because it wasn't an accurate assessment of what the quarterback had to go through, what the wide receivers had to go through. When you're talking about a situation that's all timing, right? Nothing screws time, not like not having a pass rush. And
right.
So
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Leroy. Go ahead. That's what Hafley was saying yesterday, that he said is you're basically back there counting 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. There's no clock in the quarterback's head, and the quarterback is like, you know, if you defend this dude for 4 seconds, the play should be over, but the play is going for 5 and 6 seconds. So he said right. It's not real football. He agrees with you, Leroy.
So I have a story. So we had Jeff George in Minnesota as a backup, and Randall Cunningham got hurt, so Jeff George had to start. So he was running all the plays during the week. We were in 7-on-7, and he dropped back, pad the ball, and and then threw it away. And then he said, Jeff, it's a 3-step drop. He said, them people ain't come here to see no dink and dunk. They came here to see the bomb. And that was, so even though it's a 3-step drop, he pat the ball because he wanted to throw it deep.
That's right.
707 does.
It does. And you know what's funny, Leroy? So I want to ask Hafley in a respectful way on Sunday that, look, Coach, you know how social media is in this league. You know how it is once the fans come out. They want to see some 1-on-1 and 7-on-7. So will you acquiesce? Will you bend to the crowd a little bit, or are you going to stay hard? Are you going to be 11-on-11? I wonder where that kind of compromise is, if there's any compromise. That'll be kind of fun to see if he plays to the crowd at all.
Chris Perkins here with us. So I know we're only a few days in. One day I read Malik Willis is looking really good. The next day I read Malik Willis looks horrible. You being there, what's the truth? With considering what it is, what is Malik Willis looking like so far?
He hasn't looked horrible. He hasn't looked like a Pro Bowl player on any day, but he hasn't looked like a scrub on any day. I would say he's probably got through 3 days, I would probably give him a letter grade of about a C+. In OTAs and minicamp, I probably would have given him a letter grade of B+. Now, right now, you know, you do have nothing but 11-on-11. So, yeah, his reads are different. And you know, in OTAs and minicamp, all they could do was 1-on-1s and 7-on-7s by rule. But now you can do 11-on-11, and that does change the dynamic. It does bring out the fact that you've got a pass rush and a suspect offensive line. Of course, the edge rushers are suspect also. But you've got suspect receivers. Look, Devon Achane and Greg Dulcich, you know, the running back and tight end might be your two leading receivers. A wide receiver might be number three in receptions. And so I think that's the kind of stuff, Zach, that you see. And it kind of affects Malik Willis. We saw Malik run for the first time today. He faked a handoff to Achane and scored maybe a 7 or 10 yard touchdown on a keeper. But Jeff Hafley has also told us that he wants Malik to stay in the pocket for the early stages of training camp and become a pocket passer, build a relationship with these receivers, figure out what the offensive line can do and the pass protection can do. So part of this is they're kind of holding his game back by design, but part of it is you don't know what you have with these receivers. And Malik is a first-year starter as a quarterback, and you do have a suspect offensive line. So when I say that Malik has not looked like a Pro Bowl quarterback, it's not all on him. There haven't been a whole lot of bad throws, a whole lot of bad reads. Malik has been he's been solid, but in some cases, his surroundings have let him down and the circumstances have conspired against him. But Malik has been good. He's been about what I've expected. It'll be a different animal once the pads come on and once he gets the freedom to use his leg, which is a big part of his game.
So, Perk, I want to ask you this. There's two guys who I have gone to bat for, and I'm going to tell you why. One is Kenneth Grant, and one of the reasons is that
– you went to Michigan.
Yeah. but let me explain why, all right, is because when he was in college, he could just use his athleticism and explode through a gap and make plays and chase things down and do stuff that way. When you get into the league, it's a lot about using your hands and how you use your hands. He wasn't ready for that. So when he played, he stood up and put his arms out and got dumb trucked a lot. How's he look as far as – I know they're talking about these D linemen using their hands and the guys using their hands up front. How does he look? Or does he look like he's getting – he's gotten better as the season went on last year. But how does he look coming back into that?
He looked really good in individual drills and OTAs and minicamp. I'll say this also for him before I continue, Leroy. As you know, defensive tackle, that's a tough position in the NFL, and it usually does take more than a season for guys to develop.
Right.
Having said that, Kenneth Grant is probably the second or third best D tackle that they drafted in 2025. Jordan Phillips is the best. Zeke Biggers, the seventh round pick, might be about the same as Kenneth Grant, might be a little worse. Yeah. So, the thing with KG, Leroy, I don't know what he does well. And I've always said for a lot of players, show me one thing that you do well. Do you stop the run? Do you rush the passer? And then we can build around that. We can come up with a package and a situation that we can put you in to play to your strength. We can cover up your weakness. I haven't seen that for KG yet. Having said that, I do think that he's a better player than he was last year. He did come on late in the season. I do see signs of growth. I don't know if he's going to be a starter in this 3-4 defense, but he should get some. He'll definitely be a regular rotational player, but he needs to be impactful as a run stopper, and I don't see that yet. But I'm kind of with you, Leroy. I'll give him some time to grow. But the thing is, you know, you're a first-round pick, and this is a team that really wants to be strong in the trenches. So the clock is speeded up on you. You got a fifth-rounder and a seventh-rounder that are playing as well or better. Expectations are high for you. So, you know, if KG was a third- or fourth-round pick, we could be a little more kind in our assessment, a little more harsh. But he's okay, but because he's a first-round pick, he needs to be better.
Seems like he misses Mason Graham. Who was the second player, Leroy? You said you went to bat for two players.
The player was, and one of the things I said about KG was he was doing a lot of holding, reading, and reacting, which is not his strong point. He's a gap guy.
Right.
Shoot the gap.
Right.
Be athletic or whatever. And so I don't know how much of that he's still doing. But that takes a long time for, if you've never done it, like, it's hard to just all of a sudden get acclimated to when you've just been explosive your whole career. The other player is Sabaya Nye. I know a lot of people have talked about him being on the left side, and I have seen firsthand that when you play on the right side and you get moved to the left, it is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do in your career. And they put him over there thinking that he was going to be able to do it, and he struggled at it. Does he look more comfortable on his natural side?
It's tough to say. You know, I thought Jonah had a decent camp last year, and then the regular season started, and well, actually, they're in joint practices game, and I think, you know, he might have been brother-in-law here during training camp, Leroy. That you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah, right. That where, you know, teammates aren't going to show him up too much, and the Lions and the Bears were like, oh, screw that, I owe this man nothing. I think Jonah might have lost his confidence during joint practices, okay. So. I think he looks better. He looks more comfortable. It might be because it's his second year. It might be because he's on the correct side of the ball, the side that he played in college. It might be because it's a new coaching staff and a new start. He looks more confident. We'll see pass come on Monday. I'm more optimistic about Kenneth Brandt's development than Jonah Sabaya-Nye's development at this point. I would go
the other way. Because at least Jonah has an idea of what it's like playing next to somebody, and he doesn't have to change a whole lot of technique to be functional. Kenneth Grant has to do something he has never had to do with that holding guys up and reading and reacting and shedding guys. Because when you're in a 3-4, right, it's your job as a nose guard to absorb as many people as possible. And the only thing you can't do is get dumb trucked. Last year, early in the year, dumb trucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to play a lot more 4-3 this year. They're going to switch it up, but they're going to try and be a base 4-3. I think the big thing for KG is to find a package that you know, maybe you're a first and second down guy, whatever. You know, find that strength. And then for Jonah – you've got to find a way to be a factor. And you know, he was the worst rated starting guard last year by Pro Football Focus, if you believe in such rankings. But I think with Jonah, it's probably mostly a confidence thing. I think with KG, it's probably skill set, like you're saying. And I agree with you, Zach. I think Mason Graham did a lot of that heavy lifting for him at Michigan, and now he's on his own. But I don't see Pro Bowls in the future for either KG or Jonah, but that's fine. Just be a solid, reliable pro. That's the battle for both of them at this point.
Chris Perkins here with us. So for this team this year, I agree with you. Obviously, no one's going to sit here and say they're going to win a ton of games, but to have some belief in John Eric Sullivan and Coach Hafley, who's more important to see success to instill belief in this regime? Is it Malik Willis at quarterback, or is it the first round pick that they had in Caden Proctor up front on the line?
It's Malik Willis. You know, it is because he's
we both
get
said Proctor,
going.
By the way.
We both said Proctor.
Well, because Malik, I don't think a lot of people believe in him for Proctor. That's the first round pick that you made.
It is. Malik is the guy that, you know, that you – you committed to as a franchise that, you know, this is the guy that we think is, after seeing him for 2 years in Green Bay, this is the guy that we think can move us forward. Proctor, you know, you picked him over Caleb Downs and Reuben Bain, but that's okay. What I've said about Proctor is I think the floor for him is Juwan James, who was a 2015 first-round pick by the Dolphins, right tackle. You guys might remember him. He was okay. He had some injury issues, went on to Denver. So I think that's the floor. I don't think Proctor is going to be a bust at all. I think he's going to be a solid starter at worst. I think the ceiling for him is Laramie Tunsil, that, you know, potentially some Pro Bowl appearances. But with Malik, you know, there's just so much riding on that. As far as that's your quarterback, that was the guy that you had for 2 years, and this is the guy that, instead of getting a placeholder like a Quinn Ewers this year and getting one of those quarterbacks in 2027 in the first round, you said, no, this is our guy. So it's unfilled performance. It's development from Halfley. It's being able to pick out the right guy from Sully, which is the same case with Proctor. But I just think there's just so much more on Malik because they knew him for 2 years. It's unfilled and off field to me.
So Perk, this is why we thought so, or I thought so. If Malik doesn't work out, it's not a make or break you. But if your first pick of your regime is not any good, then we got problems. And so it's more important that Proctor work out than Malik, because you're giving him guaranteed money with a starting quarterback makes in 1 year, and you can take that hit. If you have a first round bust as your first pick, we got questions.
See, I respect that and I hear you, but I look at it the total opposite direction. I'm like, if he's a first round bust, he's an offensive lineman. And you put that down with the other offensive linemen that have been bust for this franchise. But with Malik, if he's a bust after you scouted him for 2 years, how am I going to trust you to get a first round quarterback in 2027?
I see that. You've been with him.
Yeah, right. You were with this dude for 2 years and you missed. How can I trust you to get a guy in 2027? So that's what it gets to for me with Malik.
Perk, can I tell you a little secret?
Yeah.
In all the years I played football, I've never looked at scout team quarterback and say he's going to be a baller.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Have you ever paid attention to the guy running the scout team?
Patriots did with Brady.
I mean, that's
the best one. That's the only one.
And with Jimmy G, I guess they did too, huh?
Yeah.
But it's just that Malik is 4 years in the league, 2 years in Tennessee, 2 years in Green Bay. I know Drew Brees was a late riser, but there aren't many Drew Breeses out there. If by the fourth year, you know, you haven't done anything, I'm a little hesitant. I was not a fan of the Malik Willis. I like Malik, but I thought, you know, get Kirk Cousins or a placeholder. You know, they should have traded Tua for Kirk Cousins with Atlanta, right? Because Tua's in Atlanta anyway.
You'd rather have Kirk Cousins?
As a one-year placeholder. And instead of like Quinn Ewers, if Malik wasn't here, and then you get your quarterback in 2027. Now, I know Kirk Cousins would have blown out the whole cost structure, right? Kirk isn't coming for a veteran's minimum.
He also needs a lot of ice packs behind this team. He can't move.
That's right. You're right. But I wasn't for the commitment to Malik Willis. We'll see. I'm not mad at him. I'm not going to root against Malik. I'm not going to trash talk Malik. I hope he does well. I hope he surprises me. But I have to see it to believe it with Malik. He's got a good skill set, but a first year starter in your fifth year, I'm with Leroy. I've got to see it. A scout team quarterback for 4 years, and now you're the starter. I'm not sure that it's going to be there. But let's see.
I guess the one good thing these days, 45 million. It's not that big
for
deal for 1 year for a quarterback. Yeah. You know, Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel, is brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood on our guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. Perk, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Park.
All right, guys. We'll talk later. All right.
We'll take a break. We'll get to a little Dead to Me segment next. Final segment on a Friday. It is Tobin and Leroy right here on 104.3 FM, WQAM.
You're dead to me.
Welcome back in. It is Tobin and Leroy. Final segment on a Friday. Zach Gelbin for Tobin. Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing, but here's what I would say. They're closer to playing four linebackers than they are four D linemen, right?
Gotcha. And for people that don't know, we were talking about Perk's comment off the air, how he said that Grant's the third best defensive tackle on this team and probably won't start. And I found that interesting.
No, they've been saying that. But like last year, Biggers and Phillips kind of got acclimated and going a little bit quicker. But a lot of it has to do with, you know, I was fortunate in my career that I played the same football my whole life. From high school to college to the NFL, they just said, do you, right? Everybody doesn't have that luxury. Some people have to acclimate to what is asked of them. And I think one of the things on the D-line is playing what is gap versus what is, you know, react and read. And that means you just hold up the guy and the linebacker makes all the plays, right? You're holding up a guy. In fact, a play they never call is defensive holding, where you try to go off and the nose tackle grabs the center, right? Read and react. And so if you're not good at that, it's not an easy thing to all of a sudden get good at. And so there's that. And it could be something as simple as, you know what? They did it before. So I'm going to wait and see. I think the one thing that I'm probably big on that a lot of people aren't, they don't think it's a big deal for a lineman to move on the opposite side of the ball.
Okay.
And I'm telling them it's like batting right-handed your whole life, and then you get to the league and they tell you got to bat left-handed.
Yeah, it's an adjustment.
It's everything. It's everything different. And from how you stand to how you look to where you're looking from, right? It's everything's different. And I know I make a bigger deal about that than a lot of people do, including Perk. You know, like Savai Naya plays on the right side. They moved him to the left thinking he could do it. They probably had that false sense of security going through camp. And then when they went to Detroit, they got abused. All of them, the whole offensive line. So.
All right, let's do a little dead to me to end the show. The Dolphins are in training camp. The Canes start next week. Marlins in action. Heat and Panthers offseason news, too. We've got it all. You can also listen to WQAM on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Download it today and make Tobin and Leroy your favorite show. All righty, let's quickly do dead to me. I think we could squeeze it in. Give me something that you guys are furious about.
I tell you what's dead to me, and I'm happy. 707. It sucked. It's a bad, like, for reporters to be out there saying, ooh, so-and-so threw three picks in 7-on-7. That's not football. So I love the fact that 7-on-7 is gone. One-on-ones are gone. As a running back, I hated one-on-one pass rush. It sucked. They don't have to read. They can just dump truck you. I weighed 220. They weighed 250. Who do you think is going to win that collision every time? I'm happy.
Jay Figg, what do you got?
I actually didn't really get that bothered and pissed off this week. So besides Miami drivers who love beeping for no reason whatsoever, I don't really have a dead to me.
Wow. Miami drivers.
Beeping. Right.
In New York. Yeah, please. That we call that a second in the day. All you hear around the city is it's annoying. Brittany, you got one?
I sure do. So last night I went to go see Spider-Man on opening night in the theaters. And what's dead to me is people who have zero movie theater etiquette. The movie had just started and this woman walks in with her flashlight on. I wish I was joking, with her flashlight, full brightness. And is talking on the phone. Talking on the phone.
That's
at full volume. She's like, hey, like, where are the kids at? And I'm like, is this woman
serious? There's a movie
serious?
Going on. Shut the bleep up.
Like, this movie that we've been waiting for years is on, woman. Like, please, shut up. And then
it was during
her
the movie?
Kids, the movie had just started. Like, just started. And then her kids end up coming and her husband. And those children were so obnoxious the entire movie. They would not shut up. And I was, like, in a theater with the reclining seats. I don't know if you guys have ever been to any of those.
Yeah.
So they were, the kids kept pushing the button and it makes noise, like it's not quiet, and of course they were right behind me, so I'm there like crying and trying to enjoy the movie, and the kid's like, mom, do you see the PS5 in the background, mom, and like all you hear is a from the recliner seats.
You know what you
I
need
wanted to,
do, to
say shut
you
up
you know what you need to do, Britt? You hide behind your popcorn. and you go, can someone shut those kids up? And they have no clue where it's coming from.
I know, but I was scared. I was like, let me not start a fight in the middle of this movie.
Hey, you need Leroy at your movie.
I do. I need someone who has, like...
I don't have a problem. Inconsiderate people get inconsiderate responses.
I was just like, it's 11 o'clock at night. Your children should be sleeping. Why are they in the movie theater right now?
Because they're all hopped up on candy.
Yeah, or so were that, you're in a that's plane
and
people...
they're just kicking your chair?
Oh, no.
Nah, well, I was one of those kids.
I had that on the flight.
Once tell me that she was going to kick my crib later that night because I kicked her chair so much.
Oh, my gosh.
I was four. What did you do?
Like,
you were probably already, what, 5'10"?
I'm telling you, no.
I agree. I had the same situation where I was on a flight on Monday, and the kid kept like putting the tray table up and down, and I felt it the entire flight. I turn around, and the dad's just like, I'm like, are you serious, sir? Like, take care of your children.
I will say this, Brittany.
The child was being watched by the parent, and the parent did absolutely nothing.
Brittany, you know what I've learned? Like, I was the complainer. Then I had kids.
You?
And then I realized. And then I realized that, damn, my kids acting like them kids. Right?
But at least I can ever listen. If you have an unruly child, I can understand that it's hard to rein them in. Like, I have nieces and nephews. I get it. That being said, like, at least make an effort. I would appreciate you for, like, to make an effort to shush your kids up.
Yeah.
But clearly you're teaching them nothing if you walk in with your camera phone, I mean, your camera light full blast and talking on the phone in the middle of a movie.
All righty, real quickly, my dead to me because I know we got to run. This is sort of my fault, but I was just amazed by it. I had to go get my shoes cleaned for a wedding that I'm going to this weekend. I got caught in the rain a few weeks ago, and I just had to go get them cleaned. $50 to get a shoe cleaning. $50 within a day. Like, what? That's crazy. I should have just got new shoes.
How dirty were your shoes?
Yeah, you might as well have
your own shoes.
There was a little grass stain.
Why did you clean your own shoes?
Because I'm a big star, Leroy. I don't need to clean my own shoes.
Then don't complain about the $50. $50.
You could have bought cheaper. You could have bought shoes for cheaper.
You could have bought new shoes.
They don't sell size 15 shoes for $50 anyway.
But I'm telling you, you just go to Walmart or something, get shoe cleaning stuff, dust it off in 3 minutes, you're done.
Yeah, I could have, but I didn't. Anyway, it should have cost $50. Should have been $20.
You can't complain.
Fine, I have another one. People that ask to tip on everything now. Give me a break.
Don't get Leroy started.
You go and get a burrito at Chipotle. Oh, can I get a tip? What did you do?
Hey, my favorite is when you go to the bathroom at the club and that guy tries to put you under contract by throwing the towel at you.
And the cologne spray.
I move out the way. I move out the way. We are not under contract, sir.
All righty, that will do it for Tobin and Leroy. Zach Gelman for Tobin today. Jay Fig, Brittany, great job as always. Perk, appreciate you too. Leroy, you have a great weekend.
You too,
Hoffman,
brother.
Crowder, and Solana coming up next. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
When's your birthday? When's your birthday?
That was her way of subliminally.
You go, boy.
Nope.
What do we use X for? Right.
X-ray.
Zebra. Oh, wait, that's X. Z.
We both.
Come on.